I about to say. All right, so hold on, man. What is my man said? Football is an American sport. Keep it here. I agree with you, Mike. Football isn't, you know, our version of football, at least, is an American sport. It's not as big in other countries. And actually, soccer is huge in other countries. So, kind of like a little swap there. We play actual football with, and you guys just call it football. All right, so let me see. All right, so what else you got, brother? Actually, take the reins for a few minutes. I got to take a restroom break. So I'll be right back, man. Go ahead and talk to the listeners.
Well, listeners, I guess it's a little solo act here. Well, Garrett goes and attends to his business. I can't see all of the any of the chat stuff going on. Mike, you know, I do agree that for the most part that we probably should just keep all of our teams here stateside. As far as the NFL goes, I do like the idea of playing the overseas games. However, I don't know that an actual franchise overseas would actually do good. I think that the reason that the overseas games that we do play do so well is because it's kind of a rare thing. And I really do think that we do need to watch, especially over in England, how many games we play over there. You know, three or four games, I think, should be about the cap for, like, London. I think that again, that if you start doing 8, 9, 10 games or whatever, that you will see, like, a decline in attendance, you know, per game. I do think that we really do need to watch exactly how many games we were playing over in England. I believe that there's plenty of other countries that would welcome an NFL game. I mentioned that Tampa is going to Germany this year. And again, you know, we have played in Japan before. They're playing in Mexico, which I think is, again, it's something that we've done before, but, you know, putting a number of games over in England and everything like that, again, I think three or four games a year is not too bad, but over that, again, I think that we would start losing that whole international scene and everything like that. So yeah, I agree with you, man. The The other stuff that has pretty much been on my mind is it has been mostly football since the draft. A couple of shocking trades. Brown going to Philadelphia. That was quite a shocker. And then them drafting Malik Willis. I think Tennessee is actually getting ready for a little bit of a rebuild, and I think they're doing it quietly. Just a really interesting situation in Tennessee. Not exactly sure why they're going this route, but it seems like they are. Right now, I'm currently watching the NBA playoffs, Dallas and Phoenix. Again, a pretty good little matchup going on. You got the big man from Dallas, Luka. He's 19 out of 21. He's put on a little bit of a show. Right now, Phoenix does have the lead, 27-21. I do think that this is going to be one of those series that goes to five or six games.
Yeah.
This is one of those things where, Derek, where, these super teams in the NFR, in the NBA, they're becoming a thing of the past. And you know what? And honestly, I think it's a good thing. I grew really tired of seeing these super teams formed and everything like that. Now these teams that are drafting well, that are being coached well, are now the teams that you're seeing going into the playoffs and going far into the playoffs. You look at the super teams that were made with the Lakers in Brooklyn. Super teams being formed, and where are they now? They're in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, listen, back in the old school days, man, you had to build franchises. You had to build championship winning organizations, and that took time. But when you did it right and you did it the proper way and you was patient, you have on the back end, you have a longer sustaining run of greatness. And what you're seeing is these teams that's putting together these super teams through free agency and trades and whatnot, and not really focusing towards draft. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Our time coming. Brady came here. He helped us out. We was middle of the pack, below 500 team. Tom Brady came here. We won a Super Bowl the first year. The next year we won 12 or 13 games or something like that. And then he's back this year. But once he's done, we're back at the bottom of the barrel. We're fighting at the bottom of the division with the Atlantas and the Carolinas because we didn't do a well enough job, drafting and developing. So with that, I believe in building championship organizations the right way. And there's a certain way you have to do things. Now, I got a buddy of mine that's watching right now. He's going to appreciate this video that I'm on the show. As you all know, I do a little bit of coaching. And my weekends are filled with basketball coaching for a while now. So I got this quick video, William. You can't see it because you're not on the video stream, but you can always go back. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to play a video here. This is the cool thing about this whole structure here with this program is I can play videos right straight off of my computer into this. So this is a game from a few tournaments ago that we ended up winning from with a, you know, very young team, good group of girls, and I'm gonna play it for you guys. So I'm gonna turn this video down. Just a little bit of highlights there, you know, ball movement, defense, and whatnot. No, they play hard. This is a young group, and they, you know, they do well. I wonder why it double plays this stuff, man. Like the orange uniforms, though. I wonder why it does that. It plays the videos like twice. I wonder if that's like a glitch, because I didn't record it like that. So the one that's shooting his free throws right here, you'll see her. She's number one. She's our point guard. And this girl is... she's probably one of the better point guards I've had. I've had some good ones in the past, but she's making it rain. Yeah, so that was that, man. And I'll do that from time to time. Utilize the power of this program. And it is sports related. So at the end of the day, you know, I could do this on a weekly basis. I got years worth of highlights for my teams. Let me see if I can find another one. I'll give you guys one more. Let me see if I can find it. I'm gonna find one more.
I'm curious about something, Debo.
Yeah.
Now you know you're coaching and everything. Now, what is the number one thing, I guess, that you try to instill into them as far as playing wise?
You know, you just gotta play hard. That's number one. You know, play hard. You know, play under control. Play with composure. And don't allow the officials, don't let the officials affect the game. They're going to make some bad calls. They always do. But you still have to, you know, go out there. You still have to play through the adversity, through the bad calls. You still got to go out there and get the job done. And, you know, that's just playing composed. Pretty much just playing composed.
You know, that's probably some of the some of the best that I've heard, because, you know, far too many times you see players and their emotions get in the way.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you see them make, you know, bad decisions.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, you know, in a lot of times that is used, you know, that is an excuse. Well, I didn't get the call I wanted, or this and that. And that's an easy cop out to make a mistake or do something stupid, is because you was mad you didn't get a call. So Here's another game here. Actually, no, these are just highlights. And my buddy, he's going to appreciate this again because this is of a – let me see if I can find this. Where is it? TNBA South. Where is it? This is from last season. This. All right, yeah, so here go one from last season. I got a whole bunch of them on my tablet, but I don't have access to my tablet right now. So this is from last season. This is a tournament here it is that we won at the buzzer. So hopefully it doesn't like skip play or whatnot. Yeah, at least it ain't double playing them. So you're going to see a play here come up. And this is about the moment, game tied. Oh, no, down one, actually. I think either down one or game tied late in the game. And we end up winning this on the buzz. I'm going to see if I can blow this screen up. All right. So this is it right here. Dribble around. Buzzer beater. Ball game. I mean, again, you know, what we normally preach is just, you know, being confident, staying under composed. Getting the job done. So, if you got a chance to win the game, it's about execution and just, getting the job done and winning the game. So, but my man Mike, he's one of my assistants. So, and this is a comment that resonates a lot because we've dealt with this a lot. You know, there's a lot of coaches out there that are just coaching, I don't know, for their own reasons, but they're not coaching. And they do a lot to mess up the confidence in players and get them to the point where after the high school season, by the time we get them back, You almost have to break them down and build them up and start them over from scratch. We had a young lady that I had a coach for the last few years that wouldn't play her. And, well, he would, but if she shot the ball, and she was an excellent shooter, but if she shot the ball, he would sit on the bench. Some games he wouldn't play her for no reason. He wouldn't give a reason why he wouldn't play her. He just wouldn't play her. And she was one of the better players on the team. And every year we got her for a travel ball, her confidence was shot. And we had to, build her back up. build it back up. We did this every year. And this same coach also told her that, you know, she would never be anything and she would not go anywhere and quit while you're ahead, all kind of stuff. Well, this past, was it March or April? April? Yeah, this past, last month, she signed her letter of intent to play college basketball. And I'm not saying we, you know, it's a lot of work on her end. She did. But, you know, she also invited, I wish I had that video. Actually, I got to get it from her. And then I might play it on here one night. But I was asked to speak at her signing day. She wanted me to represent, speak on her behalf. So if y'all know me, people that do know me, we do this radio show every week. But that's different. I don't really like getting in front of people and talking. So, I don't really like getting in front of people and talking, bro. I get like, you know, stage fright. If I'm up there too long, I probably start sweating. So,
yeah.
And then, you know, I start like muffling my words and stuff like that. But I went up there, you know, I wasn't sure if I wanted to do it, but, she asked me to do it. So I just, you know, sucked it up and went up there and spoke for maybe like 5 to 7 minutes. And I ended it real quick. So, but good thing was I was the first person. So there was some guys that followed me that if I would have had to follow some of their speeches that they did for other kids, mm-hmm. Yeah, it probably wouldn't have been good. So I was glad to just get it over with. I was just glad to get it over with.
You know, I have to admit that's one of my weaknesses too. I mean, it got a little bit better when I started actually managing restaurants and stuff, because you have a group of like 20 or 30 people and everything. And even then there at times, you know, I mean, even just with as few as that, there were times where I got a little flustered and stuff like that. I'm not a public speaker. You know, again, you know, we do this radio show and, you know, I mean, but it's different. Yeah. You know, the thing is that I guess it's because we can't see all the people listening to us looking back at us, because if we did, I'd freeze up. I really would. There is no doubt in my mind. But as far as speaking in front of people, yeah, that's a no go.
Yeah, it is, man. And, I know I don't like it. I do it. When I got into coaching, I didn't really, I had a problem with projecting my voice over the loud noises in the loud crowd. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. And so I had to get used to like yelling. I'm not a big yeller. My boy on the line on the chat, he'll tell you, I'm not a yeller. I'm more of a, like a Greg Popovich. You know,
you would love Lovie Smith coach.
Yeah, pretty. Yeah. Love his Smith, coach. I don't really get over emotional. I'm just kind of like, you know, I'm engaged. Obviously, I have to scream and yell just because it's so loud that I have to, in order to get the attention of the players on the court. But I'm not a yeller. Like, you won't just see me yelling to yell, or you know, losing my mind on the sideline. And you know, you have parents looking at you like, that coach, they're crazy. You know, I get a lot of I get a lot of officials that come past me during before the game or during the game, and they'll say, you know, man, you one of the most calmest coaches that I've ever seen. Like, you don't say nothing. And I really don't. You know, I'm just giving direction more than anything when I am, like, you know, vocal on the bench. I'm more or less just giving direction to the players. But there's some guys, man, that I see coaching, and I just be like, you probably shouldn't be doing this, because, you know, they're screaming at the top of their lungs. They look like they need some anger management, and they really not. I'm not the best coach, but I think I'm decent. You know, I think I'm a good coach, but I believe in my principles, and I think my principles of coaching is what really separates me, my staff, from everybody else. And the players that we do get, I believe they get more, you know, more development than most. I mean, that's just, you know, that's just saying it like off of the top what I know. You know, I'm not gonna go into detail, but just what I know about, you know, how things are and seeing things. I get more positive feedback on, you know, development more than anything. And that's at the end of the day, that's what it's all about anyway. We might not win as many games as other teams because we're more focused on development and just, you know, building players. So I don't necessarily go out a whole lot to you know, steal players from other teams.
Yeah,
I don't believe in that. If they come to me, of course, but I'm not gonna go out of my way to you know, take a player that's already on somebody else's team. I don't believe in that either. So I'm just old school that way.
Well, you know, the thing is that, you know, there are some coaches that are out there that are they lose sight of this thing called sportsmanship. And, you know, and sportsmanship isn't just with players, it's with coaches too.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of coaches, you know, every year before the season starts, every coach that participates has to take like these annual tests or quizzes and stuff. You have to watch videos, take quizzes on this type of stuff. So, you know, I think it's good. But at the same time, it does get a little boring, but it doesn't bother me. It's all good.
Right. Well, you know, I think that when you have a situation where you're coaching and you're interacting with young players and stuff like that, I think it is a good thing to know that your coaches, they understand what's going on. I'm sure the tests are boring and they're probably redundant, mm-hmm. but, by the same token, you don't want the wrong person coaching these young women. Because, we've seen far too many times where coaches, where there are some people that are coaching that really shouldn't be coaching to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've seen it up here. We had a string that it seemed like every other week here a couple years ago, a coach was resigning for whatever reason or another. There was one coach that resigned over recruiting violations and everything like that. And now we're not talking about college coaches. We're talking about high school coaches. And some of these coaches up here, they're cutthroat. And I'm like, man, yeah, God, calm down. One coach resigned over recruiting violations. Another coach resigned because he had a intimate relationship with one of his players. And the thing is that I'm sure that they have tests and stuff like that that they do with the high school coaches up here and the traveling leagues up here, just like they do down there. But at the end of the day, it doesn't seem like they're as thorough as they are down there.
Let me see.
Speaking of,
I'm gonna play one more video, okay. And then but first I gotta he's team this. Let me see. I'm gonna play one from this season. See if I got him.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, while you're doing that, I gotta step away for a second.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead. So I'm gonna play another one from this season. I just have to find the video here. Oh, here we go. Yeah, so my man Mike, he appreciate this one too. This game here was earlier, and we almost got in a fight at the end of this game. Not my fault or his, but sometimes you got to check some of these dudes. All right, so here we go. Doing the double take again. Take again. They ain't played double tape. I wonder why I do that. So that was that one, man. That was another one. You know, a couple games. I got some from this past one that I'm going to go out. And once I get the film, I'm gonna play them as well. But there's a lot of ways that I'm going to start going with this Rat Pack Sports Show video stream. So sometimes it might be professional sports, and then other times we may sit here and talk about, intramural or youth sports or high school or travel ball. That's the way I end up going tonight. But other days we may just stick to professional sports. But let me get a couple score updates here. Miami beat Philadelphia 119-103. And Dallas is currently up against Phoenix 49-47. And I think I spoke earlier that's going to be a good series. Definitely going to be a good series. NHL-wise, Lightning pulls it off. They tie the series up with 1-1. Won the game 5-3. St. Louis, pretty much, they're down 4-0 to Minnesota. Carolina beat Boston 5-2. And end of the first period, LA and Edmonton is tied at 0. And I want to say that was it. There was a story that I wanted to get into really quick. It was an NFL story, so let me see. No, it wasn't. And we'll next week, we're going to talk about this here. We got a little bit of time, so maybe I can go into it now. But the NFL sent out a memo. Damn, boy, I got something in my eye. NFL sends a memo out, says it plans a two-day diversity networking seminar for prospective head coaches and GMs. So in a effort for the NFL to address its problems with diversity in its coaching and front office ranks, they will hold a seminar for 64 prospective head coaching and general manager candidates. Can you really find 64 prospective head coaching and general manager candidates and you only got 32 teams? Like, we know what this is about. But I think 64 is a little bit much. 20, 30, okay. 64? And then you got teams like Pittsburgh Steelers that's had the same, only three head coaches in like 90 years, seem like it. And then, so why is the Steelers, you know what, I'm going to just leave that alone. But it will be held in Atlanta later this month. And, team owners and head coaches, the GMs, on April 8th, the NFL sent this to them. And it's a two-day meeting, May 23rd and 24th, and will feature networking opportunities for diverse prospective club-nominated head coaching and general manager prospects. That's a little bit too much. with the team owners and other high-ranking officials. It says, each NFL team will nominate two participants, one from the coach's side and one from the player personnel. The memo asks that those participants be senior women and minority high-potential coach or player personnel candidates. See, I knew exactly what this was about. William, man, why you breathing so hard, brother? You sound like you was running. You good, man?
Well, yeah. You know, just got to get that little workout going up and down the steps.
Oh, okay. I'm about to say, because, boy, you sound like you've been doing some running. But you say you've been going up and down.
Just a little bit.
You sound like you've been going, you know, you've been going up and down some stairs. I'm going to give you a pass on that one. Okay, so the memo asks that, and I'm reading this article from Dan Graziano, ESPN staff writer. So this is, I'm just reading straight from the article here. So the memo asks for senior women and high minority high potential coach or player personnel candidates. A source said the group of 64 will participate in sessions and programs designed to further their education on the business of football and discuss coaching techniques. Okay, this is my only problem. If it's a true coaching seminar, then shouldn't anybody, well, never mind. I forgot. We are talking about corporate NFL here. But the main goal of the program is to get minority candidates for head coach GM openings face time with the league's highest ranked decision makers. The idea grew out of feedback of the league's diversity committee received at the NFL Scouting Combine in March from candidates, some who were successful and some who were not, from the most recent GM hiring cycle. Some of those candidates told the committee that one of the things that bothered them about the protest was that the first time they ever met a team owner was when they went into the interview. You know what? The first time I ever met my boss at my job was when I went into the interview process. That's what happened to normal people. Normal people that go for job interviews. You never met the boss at your job you're going for the job for. You never saw you never met anybody in the HR department. That's how it's supposed to be. I mean, most of the time, that's when most people go for job interviews, they don't know who they're talking to until they meet them in the interview room. So what is so bothered about that? That's how most job interviews go, right? Am I wrong?
No, not from where I stand. I've had a few bosses that I had actually known before I actually took jobs or whatever. But the thing is that, I mean, that was very few and far in between.
Yeah.
You know, my thing is that how do I want to put this? This disconnect that
what athletes and celebrities have from regular society. You can go ahead and say it. You can go ahead and say it. I mean, I agree with you.
It's just mind blowing.
The disconnect is serious. It is very. It's to the point now where it's like, they don't need they. It's they're in their own world, right? They're in their own world. They do their own thing. They live life how they see the world. And people like us, well, not like us, but, you know, regular people, We see them and we look at them as, man, I wish I had that lifestyle. And I bet you it's so easy for them, or this or that. And at the end of the day, they look at us like they're so, I'm not saying all of them do, but a lot of them do. You know, they look down upon us little people that pay them, you know, that we're responsible for the reason why they have so much money, right? And a lot of these athletes, celebrities or whatnot, whatever you want to call them, they don't have time for the little people. You know, I like to put it in these terms. These are actors. If you're talking about Hollywood, these are actors. If you're talking about sports, these are professional athletes. Now, you know, professional athletes in the sports realm, you know, they have a job to do when they're on camera. They have a job to do when they're, you know, at their practice facilities and whatnot. But once they leave those facilities, their job is done, and they're now regular citizens, just operating like me and you, you know, in the general public. And a lot of times, some of these dudes don't like to be approached in public, especially you know, when they're out on their, you know, private time. And us people feel like, you know, we could just go and approach these people, these dudes or women, at any point, any time, and they supposed to just be okay with it. And if they catch an attitude about it, then they automatically label some type of, you know, terrible person, because you wouldn't sign my shirt for little Johnny, who wanted an autograph, even though you were going to go sell that autograph on eBay. You know, that's how it is. And people get mad and they throw hissy fits because a grown man told them that they didn't have time for them. All right.
Well, you know, here's the thing with that. You know, on one hand, these celebrities or whatever, they kind of chose to be in the public eye.
Yeah, they did.
And you know, and coming up and asking for autographs, you know, that's just part of it.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, if they're out with their family,
you gotta leave
and
them alone.
They're trying to enjoy, you know, leave them alone. Okay? Because at the end of the day, they are just like me and you. You know, they do have families. They don't want to sit there for hours on end signing autographs when they're supposed to be having family time. You know, here a few years ago, I got the opportunity where I was working at to meet a lot of professional wrestlers, such as Daniel Bryan, Kurt Hennig's son, Axel Hennig, you know, and stuff like that. They came through the travel plaza that I was running.
Yeah.
And you know what? I didn't ask them for an autograph, didn't ask them for a picture or anything like that. I spoke to Daniel Bryan, and you know, I said, you know, said really big fan and everything like that. I said, you know, hope you have a good night. And I got approached later, and they're like, well, why didn't you ask them for an autograph? Well, for one, it was like 2:00 in the morning. Okay, they're traveling, they're tired, they're just trying to get to where they're going. Okay, you know, there's a time and place for everything, and you know, that just wasn't the time or the place. You know, I mean, when you are in a level of authority and everything, you maintain some sort of professionalism. And, you know, and I just felt that was the right thing to do. You know, there's two sides to this coin. I see both of the sides, but, you know, I do have a policy that if I do see...
I think we lost him. Oh, there you go. He's cutting it out.
You know, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm actually driving to work at the moment.
Work? At 11 o'clock at night?
Yeah.
Man. Big baller.
Hey, that money ain't going to make itself.
No, you're right about that. You're right about that. But, yeah, so, ladies and gentlemen, again, we're not on here saying it's wrong to, you know, look up and value some of these people. But at the end of the day, they're just like us. They just got a little bit more money. So,
a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. Man, give me a fraction of what them people make, and I'll be all right.
Okay.
Okay. Talking about a little.
Okay. So, yeah, Daniel Bryant, man, my guy must be late. I ain't said nothing about Daniel Bryant in about an hour. As always, man, you know, we just speak from the heart here. We real. There's no script on our show. So we just, whatever comes to mind, we just go with it. So, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we do here at the Rat Pack. And we appreciate everybody for tuning in tonight, man. I know this last hour of the show was a little bit different, but we are a sports show. So we don't just talk, you know, professional sports all the time. We do talk about other sports, and there's no harm in that. But at the end of the day, we appreciate y'all tuning in. And as always, my man William Gray's coming through. I'm glad he's okay. Last week was rough on Thursday night for him. But he is back. So, appreciate everybody tuning in and listening. My man Brendan, appreciate you for tuning in. Me and you will be talking soon because we got some music to work on, brother. So that's my little nephew, man. Hey, tell your mom and your sister that I said hi and yeah, we'll me and him will be talking. As I said, I'm gonna get back into some stuff here. So, I'll play him on the show for you guys. This is the Rat Pack Sports Show. We own everything we do on this show. Even the music that you guys hear when we go to break, that is those are independent artists. And we get rights from their respective record labels to play their music on our program and our radio station. So that's pretty cool. I got so much independent, and a lot of it is, I have some hip hop, but major den of it is heavy metal. And yep, that's right. I listen to heavy metal. As the time go on, we'll be, you know, straining all that stuff out. And We'll see you guys Sunday night. Sunday night we will be on at 9 p.m. That is our audio only. We will not be doing video on Sunday night. So if you want to listen, you just head over to RatPackSports.com and you'll be able to download the apps from there. You can download the podcast from there as well. And, you know, keep everything kosher. So for myself, Mr. William Graves, my man Nicholas Lane, who couldn't be with us tonight. He was out there was hitting ground balls. And, yeah. We'll see you guys on the flip side. So this Rat Pack Sports Show, we're signing out for the night. We will see y'all. Appreciate you. And take it easy. This is Rat Pack Sports Show. We are out for Wednesday night. We will see you guys Sunday night with a booster seat. We out of here, man. This is Rat Pack Sports Show. Doing it again for another week. We're out like four flat tires without a spare. Peace.
Peace.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're off the line here on the radio stream. We're still live here on the video, and we're going to get out of here, man. So see you guys next Wednesday night, Rat Pack Sports Show, live Rat Pack Radio, WRPR. Download the app, Rat Pack Radio, WRPR. Download the TuneIn app if you don't have that. Find us on RatPackSports.com. We'll see you guys next week. This is Rat Pack. I'm your host, or one of your hosts, D-Bo.